Have you ever felt the weight of being labeled all over the place because of your many passions? If so, let me ask you this. Are you ready to break free from the shackles of societal norms and boldly showcase your ability to innovate and turn vision into reality? Can you imagine aligning your passions, purpose, and profession without compromise? Well, you're not alone, and you're in the right place. I get it because I am you. I'm Jatia Jones of Jatia Jones Consulting, and I've walked the path of a multi-passionate. Welcome to the Confident and Courageous Clarity Podcast. Join me for inspiring conversations with multi-passionate CEOs who've turned their diverse passions into a force for change. We dive deep into our collective experiences, sharing invaluable lessons, and providing you with a strategic roadmap to manifest the life and business of your wildest dreams. This isn't just a podcast, it's a movement. And I'm not just your podcast host. I'm your partner in this dynamic journey. You, me, and the incredible community of multi-passionates. Get ready to unlock the confidence, courage, and clarity to help you become the world-changing multi-passionate CEO you were destined to be. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another edition of the Confident and Courageous Clarity Podcast with me, Jatia Jones. This week, we are diving into the becoming. So, you know, I told you guys, I'm always going to be transparent, and I'm working on my vulnerability, so I am going to be vulnerable today. By the time this airs, the current cohort of, or the next cohort of the becoming would have started. But I also wanted to just go ahead and do an episode based around that so that you'll be ready for the next. If what I'm about to share sounds anything like you, okay? You've heard me mention time and time again, if you've followed me anywhere on social media or on the podcast, that imposter syndrome normally begins when we're in a position that does not value or use our vast range of skills and talents. We begin to lose ourselves, so to speak, which is what imposter syndrome is literally all out. We hear the term and we think it's here and there, right? Because it'll show up when we're getting ready to apply for jobs. It'll show up when we're, you know, about to interview for things. It shows up very strong in different time periods and phases. However, it is still there. I call it the whispers of doubt. They're very loud, even though no one hears them but you. And they're in your subconscious, and they continuously talk all day, all day, all day, really, truly making you feel like you are not capable. And two things can be true at one time. You know that you know that you know that you're a beast at anything you set your mind to. Like, it's gonna get done, and it's gonna be done immaculately if you have anything to do with it. And at the same time, feel as though you're not capable to do it. Those two things can exist at the exact same time. And then one day you wake up and you're like, who am I? What do I like to do? Especially when you're dating, and like, that's like one of the top questions. What do you like to do? What's your favorite movie? Or what's your, and you don't have an answer. Especially the answer to, what do you do for fun? Or better yet, y'all, I am a lipstick accessories girl. That includes shoes, jewelry, bags. Like, I would wear sequins every day. But then it became, well, if there's a special occasion, not just every day. And then it came to, that's too much work. I just want to be comfortable and cute. Knowing good and well, the girl who I am deep down inside, we're going to be fly every single day. And we need to feel sexy and like that chick every single day. Even in Jordans, even in sneakers, we need to feel like her. and show up as her. And all of a sudden I woke up and I was like, comfortable and cute. Look, comfortable and cute. All of a sudden my closet was all black. All of a sudden it was, I just woke up one day, like waking out of the twilight zone, and was like, who am I? Why am I not showing up like this? How do I get back to her? It takes way too much energy to get back, to even think about getting back to her. And we're not even talking about trying, just thinking about getting back to her. That was her shaming. And as I sought out onto my personal becoming to become who I've always felt deep down inside, who I just locked away for the acceptance of others. So, because I was too much of this, or this too much, or you're doing too much, or all the things, I just piled stuff on top of the cage that I locked her away in. And it took me taking the time to remove all that stuff until I was able to remove the cage so I could let her out and I could genuinely be free to be. And it felt so good. It was like a weight lifted off. Like, even though I was locked in this cage, it was putting weight on me. Like, I was literally like holding it up just to go through life. The difference between surviving and thriving. And I got a small taste of thriving, and I was like, I want more. And I never want to go back to survival mode. But the thing was, I didn't really know how to truly get out of survival mode to really experience real thriving. It was just a taste, a sampler, okay? And that's what I did in the personal becoming. And I had to figure out what that looked like for me at this stage and phase in life. Where did this stem from? Like, I can't correct the thing if I don't know where it came from. And so honestly, for me, when I first started like my real job, right? I was excelling, like getting another job, more money, another job, more money. And then I got to this one job and the supervisor was batshit crazy. And I think she knew it because she would always apologize with food. And so I was desperately wanting to run away from this job. And one of my colleagues was like, oh, you should talk to one of my friends. She works at this place where you travel around the world and teach everything public health. I was like, that sounds like my alley, bet. I go, my first day I knew I should have left, but I was so desperate to stay, to run away from the last job, right? Because I get there and I had had other female supervisors before and other supervisors of color, right? Female supervisors of color. Great experiences until this. To this day, I still call her the devil in the flesh. Anytime, well, first day, she's like, would you be interested in this position? And I'm like, that's not what I was hired for. Make a long story short, she basically hired someone else in my position. And then luckily for her, someone retired who was military and put me in their position. I've been in the military, y'all. Y'all can pay me enough to put on a uniform. Nope, not her, she me. But I was like, oh, I guess so, whatever. Every day I came to work, like my jazzy self, ready to get it, make the world a better place. I had a day from hell. We ended up converting from one small contractor to a very large contractor. My paperwork was the last to be converted because I spoke up. I was advocating for myself and for others. Last one. Then that same job merged with another entity. And we transferred over to be a government GS. What does GS stand for, y'all? Government specialist? No, service. Anyway, that is like a government position to actually be a federal employee, right? Not with a contractor. And thank God she did not come along. She did not transfer over.
However, by this time I had been brainwashed, had PTSD, really stopped dressing like myself, settling for less. And it was very subtly, like it subtly ate away at me, at who I was at my core, so that I really didn't notice, right? And I knew you gotta have a job to survive. But then the imposter syndrome kicked in because we used everything old school. So I'm like, I'm not able to compete in this market with new things and kids coming fresh out of college and knowing all the latest and greatest and da 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 da. Who's gonna hire me? I didn't say it, but it was a whisper, right? So I ended up staying there, ended up settling. And then it was the have and have nots at work, which was blatantly obvious. Blatantly obvious. It got to the point where then they kept bouncing us around, transition after transition, basically still with the same company. I ended up being with them a total of 12 years. I was with them for 12, over a decade, y'all. Over a decade. And the last supervisor I had was, we're just gonna say interesting. Got the position because the supervisor that retired was like grooming her, so to speak. And oh, this will help her be better. Let me tell y'all something out there in employee land, employer land. If they don't have the skill sets as an employee, they don't have the skill set as a leader. You know they're not. And they're not all of a sudden going to change. They rewrote the supervisory position, PD job description, so that her credentials guaranteed her the position. Nobody else. Nobody else. Now, mind you, who ended up doing the job majority of the time? Mind you, who was always asked the questions? Who basically did two jobs because they were not qualified? And it got to the point where all of said supervisors' employees filed a grievance, but was anything done? No, because this place had a culture of toxicity and covering up. And I just don't want a problem. Go give it to somebody else. Fast forward, COVID happened. This supervisor kept trying to get me to come back into work. No, just because you don't have enough balls to say you prioritize your life and your health. So you're going into the, no, I'm not. I'm good over here. Because I can still get my work done. Unless you have any other grievances, I'm not coming in the office. And y'all, the office was already a cesspool of disease for me to be working for a public health situation. I found a dead rat behind my adjustable filing cabinet, one of the big rolling ones. Like, and y'all want me to come in the middle of a pandemic? No. And I'm just sharing all of this because to many, it'd be like, well, why the hell were you still there? Why the da 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 da? Because the imposter syndrome quietly ate away at me. And I woke up and didn't know who the hell I was. We're not even going to mention how I also woke up and found out what narcissism is. Ended up in a relationship with a narc. Then realized there were some very close family members that are narcissists. It was like, let's pray on Jatia. And Jatia had not realized this in all of her years of life. It was, oh, I'm gonna help. Oh, I'm gonna, da, da, da. I feel bad. Let me. So it was a lot of, when I tell people I took the, I believe it's the red pill from the Matrix, I took the red pill. And every day I had an aha moment during my personal becoming. It was like, oh, so this is why you are the way that you are. Oh, this is why they're the way that they are.
And oh, these are the things we need to do to protect us, to position ourselves in a way that we can grow and thrive emotionally, mentally, physically, financially. And this was a lot of emotional strain, stress, heartache. And I love hard and I care. So for these individuals and situations, like, it literally broke me. And this is voluntary, y'all. I volunteered to go on my own personal becoming. And it was mainly because I was like, Lord, you know, I want to do a becoming retreat for multi-passionates to help them become who they've always felt destined to be deep down inside and not who we've been conditioned to show up as. And he was like, but ma'am, you got to do the same. And I'm like, no, I don't. Like, you know that I'm good. And I know I have, that's the gift you gave me, is to see what's not in front of me and transition it into a reality and make a thing. Like, you know, that's my gift, Lord, right? And he's like, I said what I said. And I was like, fine. So I literally went out and I went to TJ Maxx that day. Do I have that notebook here? And I bought a notebook and I started the personal becoming. I think it's here. Let's see, y'all. And so I started with asking myself questions. And let's see. It's not over here in this bag, but and answering them and doing the work and being in therapy. And it's hard when those you love or those you saw at the finish line with you are the ones that you have to stand up to, the ones you got to tell no, the ones you got to cut off. And y'all, for me, I'm naturally happy-go-lucky. Like, they're me. So I had a roommate back in the day that literally yelled at me one time and was like, why are you always so happy? And I'm like, why are you mad that I'm happy? My rule and standard was, it's not your fault if I'm unhappy, so I'm not going to take it out on you. And so apparently there are people out here that think happy-go-lucky people, you're just fake. You can't just have a good heart. You can't just want to help people. Like, apparently you have to be fake and have an ulterior motive because they do. Okay? But honestly, I am. I like to be happy-go-lucky. And literally being stoic and putting my foot down and staying in this posture is tiring. I want to be able to just be like, girl, let's kiki it up again. But I know that I have to protect me, my energy, my surroundings, my environment, for me to truly be able to do my assignment that God gave me and prosper in it. I have to stand, I have to clean house, I have to cement the backyard if it's full of snakes. Like, I have to, when I'd rather just plant more flowers. It is tiring for me. But I made the decision that I want this, so I got to do this. And it's not easy. It hasn't been easy. It's gotten easier. Everything is a muscle. Everything gets easier with repetition, right? So y'all, I'm not saying that you shouldn't try out your own personal becoming. Because what I really am saying is that you should. But I want you to know what you're getting yourself into, so to speak. But it's so worth it. It is so worth it. Who I am now, how I show up, how I feel about me. Like, I feel it from my belly, like from my guts. And I humbly say, I'm the shit. I am. And I feel like it again. And in that humility, I want to serve. I want to help others. I want to be happy-go-lucky. I want to spread joy. I want to spread the feeling of freedom and fulfillment and fun when you are literally free to be you and all of you, all parts of you, and show up as you deem the level of, I don't know, bye bye boom, that you choose to show up as, to have the energy to show up as that person. Like, my whole goal was that when I opened my closet, everything in there made me go, yes. Because, y'all, when I shop and I find a new pair of shoes, and as my grandmother says, if it makes you strut, it just made me, I just instantly snap my fingers and be like, yeah. Yes, I snap at myself because that's how it makes me feel. And I want everything in my closet to be that way. I am also a foodie. The girl love to eat now. My friends pick me because I actually love healthy foods too, because they can taste amazing. They really, really can. And I want every time I go into the kitchen for me to get a meal that's like ordering from a restaurant. I literally started looking at some of my favorite restaurants, the menus, and base my grocery shopping list off that. I was like, oh, this week we're gonna have that. And did. And who? I just say all that to say, when you're your best self, you have your best business. Period. So many of us are high achieving and we are good at and used to, and it's been normalized to function over capacity, way over capacity. Tied, TIAD, not just tired. And that's our normal. And it's like, we're just going to keep pushing and keep doing it because I know I can. But do you, like, should you have to? That all is not worth it unless you work hard. It's a bullfrog canackle. We're supposed to work smarter, not harder. And to do that, we got to put in some work in the beginning to become who we are destined to be, so we can be the CEO that we desire to be. And we can show up as the person we've always felt deep down inside and not the person we've conditioned to be. We can take off the mask. You can come out the cage. I can wear sequins to the grocery store just because I feel like it. To not have these constraints and be confined to things that don't suit you, which are not best for you. You questioning your own self is because other people who want to be able to manipulate you have been in position to do so for so long that now you're like, well, and you're on this hamster wheel of, I knew I shouldn't have. I knew I shouldn't have, da 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 da. You fill in the blank. You knew you shouldn't have what? I knew I shouldn't have forgave them and let them back in. Well, not per se forgave. You could forgive and not let them back in your life. I knew I shouldn't have dated him. I knew. But, you know, I hear a mother, when are you gonna give me some grandkids? You hear the outside noise, the outside chaos that has shut up your internal voice, the one that's really looking out for you. And you shut it up because you're like, well, but maybe they said, what do you say? And it takes some real course correcting to be able to hear that voice again. Because that voice gave up hope. It was like, oh, well, I've been screaming and screaming. Don't do that. Don't go there. Say no. And you just did the opposite. So that voice gave up. But part of the becoming is finding your voice again, opening that throat chakra and letting it come from your heart and from your guts so that everything is crystal clear of what feels good for you and to you. Nobody else. Nobody else. Because honestly, I always give this example about being a parent. If my mom was tired, I was like, go take a nap. Now I gotta, because you're snippy and you yelling at people and you getting on our nerves for absolutely no reason. We would have preferred for you to just go take a nap. But there's so many mothers out here that don't put themselves first because they're thinking they're doing the best for their kid. And no, put you first. Nobody said be selfish. But self first makes you the best person that you can possibly be for all the people around you, that you love and care about, so you can truly show up for them the way you want to. You know your heart wants to give them a 5-course meal, but you showing up giving them breadcrumbs and leftovers when that doesn't have to be the case. But it's so many of us who adopted the mindset of our ancestors, aunties, grandmas, who lived in a time where they couldn't, they literally couldn't. But we can. You have the freedom of say so at this point. You might have to do it within the confines of a budget or this or that, but you can. You can truly have the life and the career of your dreams, whether that's at the 9-to-5 or your own business. And my heart wants that for you. And that is why I wanted to share what it really was for me for the person of becoming and how I got there and how I got here to the point where I was like, you know what, Lord, we're going to make this a course. It's really not even a course. It's a mastermind because we have community. We're supporting each other. We're talking about it. You're doing the internal work so you can be the person you've always seen yourself as. I'll have some of my friends and coaches come in and help with capacity, time, energy, help with identity, like really, who are you, right? Help with systems, personal and professional, right? Help with our style, like so we can feel good from the inside out. The friend who helps with the styling, I was telling her stuff and things, showing her pictures of who I would want to look like, because she was like, I ain't never seen you. Because I've never allowed myself to fully express myself in that manner. I've always had my nail job. Those were my way of expressing myself. I didn't do this. I didn't want to be seen as much. I was trying to hide in plain sight because it had been my experience that when I showed up as my full self, even as a kid, there was always a problem. There's always a problem. You need to be seen or heard, right? So it was easy for me to fall into that same habit as an adult at my job because getting to the root of where it came from so we can acknowledge it, make a plan of when triggers come up, what we do, what we feel, how do we know we're in this phase and state again and how to get out of it, and how to become who we've always felt deep down inside, who we're destined to be, so we can be the CEOs we desire to be. So y'all, come on for the journey. Join the next cohort. By the time this airs, the wait list will be open again. Go ahead and just put your name in the hat for information so you'll be the first one to know. I would love for you to join our community of women who are like mine and like heart. It's a safe space for us to really share like the real stuff and have people hold space for you so that you can let it out and get feedback and other life experiences. What worked for them? I literally had a conversation with a friend the other night and I was able to share, well, this is my life experience. And so this is how I handle it. This is what worked for me. You can try it or not. We can brainstorm together like what it should look like for you to put a strategy and plan in place. We can have plan A, B, C, and D. To me, that's what safe and support look like. It's a non-judgmental zone. Because at the end of the day, it ain't no fun if the homies can't have none and we all can't have none unless internally we're great. I mean, you can have some, but it won't be as much as you have the potential to make. And you won't be able to help as many people as your heart truly desires. So shout out to Misha Moore. She said, when I spoke to her recently, she said, your head is where your heart is. And if your heart is broken, how can you mentally execute anything? And I was like, ooh, girl, that's a word. That's a whole word. So So we have to do the internal work so we can grow and heal personally and scale and grow professionally. So that's it. That's all this week. If you're into journaling, which you know I'm a proponent of, journal. Journal. How do you feel? And how are you not showing up as that? And join us in the next cohort of the Becoming. I would love, love, love. I'm excited. I can't wait to see you show up and snapping at yourself, talking about, yes, girl, yes. And feeling like your best self, because it feels amazing to be able to feel you again, right? And one last thing. One of my friends also asked me, she was like, well, are you really like becoming who you've always been or who you're destined to be? And I'm like, yeah, this isn't a new version. This isn't a new version. This is us going underneath the rock as a crab to shed that outer shell and grow one that really fits and suits us. So we're still the same. Yeah, we're bringing all the lessons learned from life, but the core of us, the root of us, our hearts, desires, our morals, our values, they show up. They show up brighter, stronger, because now we have the appropriate shell of who we truly have always been destined to be. We're stronger. Our boundaries are stronger. Our no is stronger. Our yes is stronger. Our energy levels are there to show up as our best self. So that's it. That's all. If this resonates with you in any kind of way, you don't have to wait till the next quarter. You can always just reach out. Just reach out. Or comment below if you feel safe enough to share what resonated with you. Because a lot of times we are such high achievers and we make it look easy and nobody really knows the struggle, our pains, our heartaches, where our tears come from, or even that we cry tears. Because we feel that we don't have the time to be weak. Or we can't show weakness because then we are always a target, right? Or if I do, then I won't be respected for, or whatever the case may be, especially my executive leaders as women and as a woman of color. It can be hard out here for a pimp when you gotta get the money for the rent. But all jokes aside, it is, but you're not alone. You're not alone. It's so many of us who never excel as high as we possibly can because we're good with hovering above the nest because everybody else thinks that part is so amazing. When we know we could be so much better, we could soar so much higher, but we're also afraid of being alone when we get to the top. And I'm here to tell you will not be alone. It may not be the people you thought were coming with you, but you will not be alone. All of the empty seats along my growth journey have been filled with amazing people. As they say, your chosen family. And I still have some ride or dies, day ones, and I love them dearly, and they know I do. But we also grew, continued to grow. We maybe didn't grow at the same pace, but we continued to grow, and we were still like heart and like mind. It's just the people that I thought were friends or thought loved me or thoughts who were just really here to take and manipulate. They're no longer. And it hurt at first, but child, let me tell you, let me tell you, I'm so thankful and grateful that God knows best. And it hurt. It hurt. I ain't even gonna sit here and lie and say I ain't cry. But I stood 10 toes down. What they say these days, standing on business. And I'm so thankful that I did. Because those that are in my circle now, there's no doubt. My gut doubted back then. I just didn't listen to it. There's no doubt. There's no doubt. So, yeah. Okay, this time I'm done for it. This is my heart. This is me being vulnerable. This is stuff I normally wouldn't share. I normally wouldn't tell. Because as my friends know, I'm a thug. I don't don't show weakness, right? Even with the smile, I am happy go lucky, right? And they be rolling their eyes at me. But yeah, I just want you to be free to be, because I now know what it feels like. I want you to not per se find you, but let her out. Let her out. Show up as your best self and kill the game in whatever industry path you are meant to be in. And help every last one of them people you're called to serve, which I know you probably think ain't many, but it's more than you know. They've just been quieted too. And they're waiting on a you so they can yell, "Me too, girl, me too." But that's it, that's all. Y'all have a wonderful
Thank you for tuning into another episode of the Confident and Courageous Clarity Podcast. I hope you found the incredible stories and insights shared to be helpful. Now, before you go, I want to take a moment to express my genuine gratitude to each and every one of you. Your commitment to aligning your passions, purpose, and profession is what makes this podcast community so special. If you resonated with any of today's episode, I encourage you to hit the subscribe button. By subscribing, you're not just joining a podcast, you're becoming a part of a movement that celebrates the brilliance of being multi-passionate. To amplify this movement, I need your help. Share this podcast with your friends, colleagues, and fellow multi-passionates. Let's create a ripple effect of empowerment and inspiration. Lastly, I'm eager to hear your thoughts. What stood out the most in today's episode? Drop a comment or share your takeaways on social media by using the hashtag Confident and Courageous Clarity Podcast. Your insights might just spark a connection or the clarity someone else needs. Remember, the power of multi-passionates lies in our collective journey. And by sharing our stories, not only do we inspire each other, but also break down barriers and redefine success on our own terms. Your support means the world. And together we're building a space where multi-passion meets purpose and dreams evolve into reality. Stay confident, stay courageous, and let's continue this transformative journey together. Until next time, keep thriving and becoming the world-changing multi-passionate CEO you were destined to be. If you're not a part of the community and desire to join us, click the link in the show notes or visit jatiajones.com/community.